Hello again. Yes, my name is Saad Jamal Al-Sirkal, the Vice President of Strategic Communications here at Tabreed. On behalf of Tabreed Management Team, I would like to welcome you all and thank you for joining us for the third quarter 2020 results conference call. Hope you are all keeping safe and healthy. Given we are all working remotely, kindly excuse us for any technical issues on the call. Before we begin our presentation, I would like to remind you that some of the statements made in today's conference call may be forward-looking in nature and may involve risks and uncertainties. Kindly refer to slide 2 of the presentation for the details disclaimer. I would now request you to turn to slide 3 for today's agenda. On today's call, we have with us Mr. Adil Salim Al-Wahidi, Chief Financial Officer, and Richard Rose, Senior Vice President of Finance. Adil will first provide an overview of the third quarter 2020 performance and key events. Following that, Richard will discuss the financial performance in more detail. Adil will then conclude the presentation, and we will open the lines for your questions. Thank you, and over to you, Adil.
Thank you, Saad, and thank you, everyone, for joining us today. I would like to begin by highlighting our 9 months of current year 2020 performance. Chilled water business grew by 13.6% and total revenue grew by 11.5%. During the same period, EBITDA growth was 20%, and as a result, our EBITDA margins expanded from 50 to 54% for the same period. Net profit during the 9 months increased by 12.6% and the margin remained flat at 29%. On an organic basis, connectivity capacity addition during the 9 months was 170,000 RTs. We remain positive about our outlook and confident of achieving our target, delivering 75,000 RTs of a new capacity over 2020 and 2021. In October 2020, we successfully raised $500 million with a 7-year 2.5% coupon bond issuance. The initial issue of $400 million was oversubscribed by almost 5 times, demonstrating strong investor confidence in Tabreed's solid credit fundamentals. Despite current global economic uncertainty, the 7-year bond was particularly were received by international investors who accounted for 90% of the final geographical allocation, with 49% from Europe, 21% from Asia, and 20% from offshore U.S. funds. The bond will be listed on the London Stock Exchange alongside Tabreed's existing 2025 Sukuk. During the quarter, we also closed a syndication of $692 million loan successfully, which was pre-funded by HSBC Middle East. Going to the next slide, please. Tabreed is contributing to the region's growth through efficient and environmentally friendly cooling, enabling sustainable development. As our business grows, so does our positive environmental footprint. We currently operate 83 plants across the region, delivering about 1.35 million tons of cooling. Our operations saved over 2 billion kilowatt hours of energy consumption in 2019, enough to power over 117,000 homes for a year and equivalent to reducing over 1.2 million tons of CO2 emissions. Moving to slide 7. This slide outlines our capacity growth trends across the region. At the beginning of 2020, we announced that we expected to add at least 75 RTs of a new connected capacity by end of 2021. During 9 months, we added more than 23,000 RTs of capacity across the region, in addition to the downtown DCP acquisition. Of this capacity, 16,000 RTs were added to the consolidated level, and 6875 RTs is through joint ventures and associate entities. This is over and above the acquisition of downtown district cooling assets from Emaar Group. The breed continued to demonstrate its ability to deliver a steady increase in connected capacity in the region, driven by growth in our key markets across the GCC and by successfully leveraging our regional network to take advantage of commercial opportunities as and when they present themselves. Moving to the next slide, please. This slide recaps the evolution of our performance over the years. To summarize, the breed is a stable utility infrastructure business with long-term contracts with high-profile customers. This provides us clear visibility of future earnings and cash flows. We currently have 86% of our capacity contracted for at least the next 10 years. Also, about 80% of our revenues are derived from fully government-owned or partly government-owned organizations, therefore limiting counterparty risk. The breed has a track record of delivering profitable growth. EBITDA has increased by 13% per year since 2017. Our acquisition of Downtown DCP cooling assets and the concession agreement with Amar Group is a significant step towards penetrating the largest district cooling market in the world. I would like to reiterate that about the resilient business model of Tabreed, which is evident from our performance for the 9 months of this year, despite the prevailing turbulent times. Given the utility nature of our services, there is limited direct impact of COVID-19 on our business. I will now hand over to Richard to talk about our financial results in more detail.
Thank you, Adel, and thank you everyone for joining us today. So looking at slide 10, let me start by highlighting the key points on the income statement for the first 9 months of 2020. Total revenue grew 11.5%, primarily driven by the chilled water business. Chilled water revenue itself grew by 13.6% over the period. The key factors driving that growth were the acquisition of Downtown DCP and new capacity additions, offset to some extent by an increase in finance lease amortization as a result of the negative CPI and some lower consumption, particularly in Q2, as a result of the COVID pandemic. Value chain business accounts for only 3% of consolidated revenues and less than 1% of EBITDA. EBITDA for the first 9 months grew by 20.3%, and the margins for the period were 54% compared to 50% in the same period last year. This margin enhancement was primarily driven by a change in the consumption capacity mix of the business due to COVID. The finance cost of the period was higher due to the new loan for the Downtown DCP acquisition, offset in part by lower LIBOR rates this year. The share results in joint ventures were lower for two reasons, really. One was some relatively poor performance coming out to Catacool, and also the results for 2019 were boosted by a one-off gain in a UAE joint venture. Overall net income increased by 12.6% with the same strong margins as the previous year. We'll now look at the statement of financial position on the next slide. The acquisition and consolidation of Downtown DCP earlier this year has increased fixed assets, receivables, equity, debt, and other liabilities, so it's responsible for most of the major movements we see on the balance sheet. Receivables are up. That's partly due to Downtown DCP consolidation, as I mentioned. It's also partly a seasonality factor. We normally see an increase in receivables compared to the year end in Q3, because our summer billings are the peak of our business. But there is also some slowdown in receivables from customers, which I'll come on to again in a few moments. Turning to the next slide, we'll take a look at the cash flow statement. Cash flow generation during the period has remained resilient to the current difficult economic backdrop. Many of the customers are directly impacted by COVID, and we did see a drop on consumption during Q2 of the year, as I mentioned. However, this has recovered strongly in Q3, and as I think you all know, consumption doesn't drive the EBITDA and net income of the business, so it doesn't have a significant impact on the bottom line. The customers are continuing to pay their bills, and overall we've seen, a small increase in DSOs, but we do remain in a strong working capital position. Our cash flow generating ability remains robust, driven by the essential nature of the services that we provide and by the long-term price certain contracts that we have. And this has enabled us to grow significantly so far in 2020. Let me now turn to the next slide, which shows our debt portfolio in a bit more detail. We currently have $5.4 billion of net debt and a gearing ratio of 51%. The acquisition of the downtown district cooling concession was financed earlier this year by a 2.5 billion dirham corporate facility with a tenor of 5 years and 100% bullet structure. That facility does allow penalty-free prepayments, which will allow Tabree to manage its financing risk over the life of, of the facility. We do plan to repay the liabilities up to 2023 before the end of this year. Both Moody's and Fitch have reaffirmed our investment grade ratings, which is a testament to our strong financial position and resilient cash flows. Coming on to the next slide, I'll just say a little more about the bond issuance that we completed last month. So we issued a $500 million conventional bond that's now listed on the London Stock Exchange alongside the 2025 Sukuk. The bond has a tenor of 7 years and a coupon of 2.5%. The bond was rated Baa3 by Moody's and BBB by Fitch, both in line with Tabree's corporate ratings. The issuance was heavily oversubscribed, and as Adil mentioned earlier, it attracted investors globally, and the final allocation saw 90% going to investors outside the MENA region. We plan to utilize those funds to acquire existing operational cooling assets in the UAE, and also to refinance a corporate debt facility, as I mentioned, which was due to mature in 2023. With that, I'll hand back to Adil.
Thank you, Richard. Before we open the line for Q&A, let me make a few closing comments. As a stable utility business model, Tabree continues to deliver strong financial and operating performance with rising profitability and stable margins. Tabree has a strong investor base and experienced management team. Solid corporate governance and market-leading transparency demonstrated by board composition of over 50% independent directors, including chairman. Tabree has a flexible capital structure to fund future growth. As we have mentioned before, we will look at opportunities within and beyond GCC, and will provide you with updates as and when such opportunities materialize. We continue to work on various fronts from business development to operations to help drive growth and improve profitability. I will now request the operator to open lines for Q&A.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to place a question on today's call, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad, or if you're connected through your web browser, please use the small flag icon on your screen. If you'd like to retract your question, please press star 2, and please remember when you are preparing to ask a question to unmute your line locally. Our first question today comes from Divi Arora from Daman Investments. Divi, your line is now open. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you very much for the call. So, you know, before we take this new bond into the account, what we see is that currently your net debt to EBITDA, it stands at around close to 5 times. If we take into account the RCF, where we take into account the dividends that you've got from the associates, it goes to around 4.7, 4 to 4.8 times. So how are we reaching to EBITDA is that we are trying to analyze the fourth quarter of the EBITDA that you have disclosed. So to understand now, you have already raised a bond of $500 million. This is being done to acquire more assets, plus you will be doing another $500 million more because you have an approval for $1 billion in total. So, you know, when we take into account that if this $1 billion can generate around, let's say, 10% return on investment in EBITDA terms. What we see is that potentially your net debt to EBITDA, you know, is going to get stretched towards 6 times in next 6 months to 1 year, assuming that if you complete that those acquisitions. So is there a risk here of you know, a further equity raise? Or I would not say a risk, but do you think that you would need to raise more equity, or rather to cut the dividends for next 1 year? Unless the EBITDA or the return on investments is much more higher than 10%.
Yeah, okay, thank you for the question. First of all, regarding the bond issuance, although we took the approval from the shareholders for 1 billion, but it won't be exercised unless there is something, you know, on the ground, and it will have the right returns as an investment case for Tabreed. So it is not a must, but if there is something, that it will materialize. The second thing, that in many occasions we were mentioning that the growth for Tabreed, it is the strategy for now, but subject to maintaining the investment grade. Maintaining investment grade, it is something very important, and we will not turn away from this threshold. So whatever it takes that the shareholders to take a decision how to maintain that, definitely that they will take that call in the right time, in the right case.
But the question is, let's say if you today find an opportunity to invest that $1 billion. So we have heard of a couple of opportunities in the market. You know, Dubai Airport has mentioned something yesterday. Mazal Al Futtaim is also talking about it. I'm not saying that you're going to go and acquire them, but let's say if the opportunities are available, and there might be, because maybe, you know, a lot of developers, a lot of other companies are seeing this district cooling plants as non-core assets in the current environment when they're stressed on the cash flow. So you might get, you know, some more opportunities. So if there is enough opportunities available to invest that $1 billion, and based on the math that, you know, if you look at the returns that could be generated on that $1 billion, you know, it appears that you will breach those covenants. You know, for maintaining investment grade rating, you might need to maintain 4.5 to 5 times, but it looks like that it's going to go higher than that. So the question is that you have said that it's a shareholder's decision. But then ultimately, is there any chatter around that? Will it be from the dividend side that, you know, you will rather take a call to not to, you know, give any dividends this year, next year, or the dividends policy is sustainable, is committed that you have to pay 50 to 60% of the earnings every year, and then it might be a cash call on the shareholders in terms of right issue?
Hi, Divya. It's Richard here. I think there's a lot of questions in there, so let me try and reiterate what Adil said, which was we went to our shareholders for an approval which would cover us, we thought, for at least 12 months in terms of potential for growth. There's no obligation on us to raise $1 billion. We currently have no plans to raise any further funds at this time, so We, as you said, we did the $500 million issuance in this quarter, which is actually slightly larger than we had intended to, because the process went so well on the day that the demand and the coupon was low, and it allowed us to do some refinancing as well. So we did the $500 million. But there's no obligation to do anything further, and there's no plans to do anything further. When it comes to dividend policy, I think, you know, the headline dividend policy is to grow dividends in line with growth in the business, and everybody always focuses on that. But the full dividend policy is to do that, bearing in mind and always taking into account the demands of the business for growth and working capital. So, you know, we don't have an obligation to continue the same payout ratio. And nevertheless, giving value to our shareholders is a key function of what we do, and you know, we'll have those discussions with the board at the end of the year, and a decision will be made by the board, which will then go to the shareholders at the AGM, and it ultimately it is a decision for them at that time. So There's really nothing I can say. We're not going to speculate on other growth opportunities, how we might fund them if we were successful to get them, and what impact that could have on the broader business. So that's all we're able to say at this time.
Clear. Just a follow-up on this. So, for, let's say, if you get stretched on the net debt to EBITDA, just taking an example, then do we, to maintain that investment grade rating, do you have some sort of a leeway for next 1 to 2 years so that by reducing the, dividends, when you add to the cash, if you don't pay out, then net debt to EBITDA automatically declines in next 1 to 2 years, towards 5 times, or let's say net debt to RCF declines by, over the next 1 to 2 years, towards 5 times. I'm just taking an example over here. How much leeway you have with those rating agencies? For 1 year, is it a timeline within 1 year or within the next 2 years, you have to bring it back to that the required level, the threshold level?
Hi, Dave. We cannot anticipate, what is the response from the rating agencies. We cannot talk on their behalf, but you can see what is the market practice. Case by case, if they are providing 6 months or 1 year or 18 months or 2 years to companies, it could be the case or it could be not. We cannot really, to speculate also about their response about that one. But what we know that it is, to maintain the investment grade, it is important thing to the shareholders. And any decision related to that, definitely they will take that decision. We know that so many options, corporate finance, investment banking analysis to have it, and they will take it in the right time. But we cannot speculate anything now.
As a reminder, ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to place a question on today's call, simply press star 1 on your telephone keypad, or please click the flag icon on your screen. As a kind reminder, if all participants could place 2 to 3 questions, and after that, re-register for the Q&A queue. Our next question comes from Vishan Bhagwan from Abu Dhabi Capital Management. Vishan, please go ahead. Your line is open.
Hello. Thank you for taking my question. So I had a question on the receivables and collections that we have seen for the 9 months of 2020. So could you give us some more color, excluding the acquisition that we have done? So on a standalone basis, how has our collection improved, and where do we stand?
All right, thank you, Vishan, for your question. So as I said in the notes there, we have kind of three things that are happening in receivables at the end of Q3 compared to the year end, which is the comparative you see on that slide. So number one is the acquisition of Downtown DCP. That's adding a balance to receivables. Then we have the seasonality of our business. So our billings in the summer months are higher than they are because the consumption is much higher than they are in other times of the year. And then we have some small slippage in overall DSOs for the customer base. So that is skewed. We have quite a significant element of our business with a small number of customers. And if those small number of customers pay us slightly slower, then that has a significant impact overall on the DSOs. So our two largest customers are paying us slightly slower as at the end of Q3, but I can tell you both of those have paid significant amounts in Q4, so this isn't a problem which is getting bigger. It's just that there's been a bit of slippage, and it seems to be staying at a new level, around about 10 days slower than we were seeing this time last year.
Okay, thank you.
As a kind reminder, ladies and gentlemen, that would be star 1 on your telephone keypad or the flag icon on your web browser screen to place a question on today's call. It seems we have no further questions on the phone line, so Suad, I will hand it back over to you.
Thank you very much, and this concludes our third quarter earnings call. Tabriz looks forward to interacting with you at our earnings conference calls and investor conferences. Should you have any further questions, please do not hesitate to contact us. So have a great day, and thank you once again for joining us on this call, and stay safe.